الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us together in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, many thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu. It is a favor of Allah ta'ala that He allows us to come to the masjid. Ask those people that are deprived from coming to the masjid, what goes through their minds on the day of Jumu'ah when they are unable to come to the masjid. Sometimes a person is in ICU, sometimes a person is high care, sometimes a person may be in prison, or sometimes a person may be for some other illness or sickness he is bound at home, and he can see that it's 12 o'clock, it's now the time of Jumu'ah. Ask him what feeling goes through his heart. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala that has allowed us to come to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make it such that we see many more days of Jumu'ah. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such that the last day of our life in this world is the day of Jumu'ah. This ayat of the Quran that I have recited with regards to Yasin, there is great meaning in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that Yasin is actually the heart of the Quran. Now we know a person has got a physical heart, and the physical heart plays a very great role in a person's body. A person can physically, outwardly, he can be very strong. He can be training, building up his muscles. He can be very strong. He can be very athletic. But if his heart is very weak, a time will come when that outward strength won't be able to assist him, because inwardly this person is weak. That heart is weak. At the same time, when a person is strong inwardly, a person's heart is strong, this will enable him now so that he can do more effort, he can exercise more, and he can build up himself externally. But it's very important for that heart. In other words, this heart is very crucial. And for that heart to be strong, two things need to be strong. One is that line that is allowing the blood to come to the heart, and the heart itself, the ability to pump, both are important. If the heart is strong, but the arteries or the lines that are allowing the blood to come are clogged, even that strong heart shortly will become weak. So both has to be right, that line that is allowing the blood to come and the heart itself. So now that necessary oxygen, the necessary energy that the body requires is now created by this heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this person. So this heart is something that is very important. So why is Surah Yasin now described the heart of the Quran? Ulama explain, for a person's iman to be strong, for his iman to be pumping strong, what is very necessary is his understanding and yaqeen of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the overarching theme that is discussed in Surah Yasin is this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person by the name of Habib al-Najjar. He was a carpenter, so therefore known as al-Najjar. It happened such, Allah ta'ala mentions the story in Surah Yasin, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ, that there were two people that were sent to a certain town, to a certain city, to give them dawat. And when they went to give dawat, فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا, those people that were, they were addressing, they did not accept their dawat. So one lesson we learn from here is that Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, either these people were prophets, or either they were sent by Isa alayhi salatu was salam, so still a messenger of the messenger. There will be times when people will reject the dawat. Now dawat is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing we learn from here is when a person is doing something right, and he knows that he's doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's doing it correctly and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he shouldn't worry about the criticism that he gets. That is not important. If my Allah is important, if my Allah is happy, that means everything. Here the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were being rejected. فَعَزَّزْنَاهُمَا بِثَالِثٍ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he did, well, he strengthened these two people by sending a third person. In other words, a bigger jamaat, now to give dawat. So these people, they still rejected. and he taunted them that you people are just like, you are men like us. قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah Ta'ala didn't send anything down. You people are just men like us. Imagine talking to Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam like this. And then telling them that you are liars. So now what had happened is at that time, so that it goes on, now they accuse them of being bad omens also, being bad luck to them also. All these things they were accusing them. At that time there was one person by the name of Habib al-Najjar, this carpenter. He saw and he noticed this, what was happening. So وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. He came rushing from the furthest part of the city. What he came rushing for? To try and tell these people, convince these people. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh my people, that follow these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. What they telling you? Follow them. And then he goes on to say, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. One way of addressing people is to address yourself. So you don't come across as being too harsh. You don't come across as being too abrupt. This is one method. Not to say that a person can't be clear in what he's saying, but one method is a person addresses himself. So whilst he's addressing these people, he's saying, what excuse do I have? That I don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatarani, that person who has created me. Wa ilayhi turja'un, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who I am going to, and you people are going to return. If we just look at this theme, that our starting point is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ending point is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100 years ago, none of us were here. 100 years in future, none of us will be here. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions that one of the things that he mentions, that the intelligent person is that person that prepares for that thing that is inevitable. You look and you see that now the students are all writing. Many of them have just finished the exam. Some are still writing exams. But that student who comes to the examination without doing any work throughout the year, and he expects now this matric exam has come, how can I suddenly get good marks? It won't happen. Miracles can happen, but it's the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that miracles generally don't happen. A person has to make effort so that he can reap that effort. So what this person is saying, Habib al-Najjar, is saying that Allah ta'ala has created me and I have to, and you people have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, we got to prepare for this journey that is to come. So this loyalty, you'll find in this world, a person who's got a wife that is loyal to him, he's prepared to hand over his whole estate to his wife. Why? This one woman was loyal to me. She took care of me. And on the other hand, a person sometimes is so upset that his wife or his child hasn't shown that loyalty. This person sometimes doesn't want to give him even 1 cent. There was a non-Muslim person once, he was telling me, white person, he's telling me that, you know, when I look at you Muslims, I think to myself, how fortunate you are. That you got extended families, not only immediate families, and extended families, there's so much of love to each other. This is something that is unknown to us. And then he's giving me his first account. He said that I've got a son, that I grew up the son, and I spent so much of money on him. Now the son of mine is gone to Australia. There's absolutely no contact. He says, I wait for one day in the year for the son to phone me, and that is on my birthday. And I wait the whole year for that one call. He said, now that one call is not even coming, I feel so depressed and so sad, I decided to take him out of my estate. So insan himself wants to show loyalty. He's happy with the loyalty shown from his wife or his child, and he gets upset when that loyalty is not shown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think if a banda shows him loyalty, Allah ta'ala won't reward this person. So this is the theme of it. When the person understands that his starting point is Allah ta'ala, his finishing point is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that whole journey becomes straight. Now that person is on the straight path. Therefore Allah ta'ala starts, Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim. Yasin, ulama explain, the exact meaning is not known to us. It has the possibility to be the exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if a person's name is Yasin, then when he's writing his name in Arabic, he shouldn't write it just with the two letters Ya and Sin. He shouldn't write it with those two letters Ya and Sin. He should write it with Ya, Alif, Sin, Ya, Noon. 5 letters. Ulama explain, because Yasin has the possibility of being an exclusive sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Al-Khaliq, the creator, which is the exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't call a person Al-Khaliq, the creator. This is an exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when a person's name is also being written as Yasin, it should be written in this matter, in this manner. Wal-Qur'an al-Hakim, by the Qur'an that is full of wisdom. Ulama explained that the word hikmat has one other meaning also to it. One meaning of hikmat is to bridle something, like how you bridle an animal. And what does it mean by bridling an animal? An animal that has got a bridle on it, you are able to control that animal. That animal now doesn't just go wild, it doesn't just go free, it doesn't just speed away. The person that has a bridle on his animal is able to control that animal. So when a person has his gaze on akhirat, he has his gaze when meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's like that person who's got control of himself. He's able to make intelligent decisions. He's able to make composed decisions. Why? Because he got akhirat in front of him. In fact, his decisions are such that they're so intelligent that they're not only falling as far as the dunya is concerned, as far as the akhirat is concerned. Recently, we had come back from Malawi this week. We went to see the madrasas of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Saleh Jisab, Maulana Gora, many of us know him. So he went and he established over many years, he went there and established madrasas in the rural areas. Some places that are even difficult to go by car, some places that are even difficult to go by foot, in the bundus, like we would say it, but some places you go, you'll see children that are sitting in madrasas under the tree. Madrasa was established in the heat, 40 degrees heat, the children are reading the name, they're taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran Sharif, reading the Kalima, learning the aspects of deen under the tree. So one person mentioned to us, why I'm saying this, is when a person has got his gaze on akhirat, then his investments also in this world is only not only limited to this world. He thinks of the investment that is to come in the akhirat. So one person mentioned to us many years ago, about 30 years ago, he says, Hazrat Maulana came here to Malawi, and he told me that he wants to go to a certain village. So we said, let's go. He said, I also staying here, I didn't know where this village is, but we said, let's go. And we went, it was through gravel road and rocky road, and until we reached one point, we couldn't go any further because now there was a lake there. So now there was a river, a lake to go across. So I said, Maulana, there's no way we can go across. He said, no, I want to go to that town. I want to go to the town. Even if it means us getting one boat and trying and going across, let's go. So he said, I asked, but why you want to go specifically to this town? He said, I heard that many Muslims are becoming murtad. I want to save the iman of those people. I want to save the iman of those people on that side. So himself and another alim also was there. They went and they went to the other side. And when they read Salah, after Salah, one person stood up and he made an announcement in the local language. So they didn't understand. So they asked some person, call him and ask him, what did he say? He made an announcement that the people, so we say the missionaries are giving dawah, and they in our town, referring to the Christian missionaries that are there, be careful of these people, they are giving dawah. In other words, the Christians were working in that area, but no Muslims to make effort in that area. Now, a person who had vision, had sight, now you go there, alhamdulillah, most of those areas, they are makatib, they are madaris, namaz is taking place, madrasas are taking place, small children are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abject poverty, very, very poor, but they're taking the name of Allah, happy and very, very content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. A lesson for us all, that to make the khidmat of deen, you don't need wealth. To make the khidmat of deen, you don't need resources. To make the khidmat of deen, you need the heart. You need to realize, and we all need to realize, that the day is coming when we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make the effort and the fruits just continue and continue and continue. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, we went to one place also, and here we seen that there was like a jalsa that was held, all the different villages that were there. And these children had come, and they were sitting under the shade of the tree. There's no stage put there, no air condition, no fan, no building structure like how we had. Sitting under the shade of the tree, one mic system was brought, and each child came standing on the hot sand and reciting the Quran, beautiful Quran they would read. So this is the system. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes intizam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes system. I just digressed a little bit to explain that when a person has got his eyesight on akhirat, then his investments even in this dunya are not limited to this dunya. For him to look after his mother becomes very easy. For him to look after his father becomes very easy. For him to be kind to the neighbors becomes very easy. Why? He's not only thinking of his immediate returns, he's thinking of the returns in the akhirat. Now look at this. Hazrat Maulana has passed away, but that legacy and that lineage is still continuing. Hundreds and thousands, about 10,000 students only in his madrasas. Can you imagine how much of sawab he's getting? Now this is what you call intelligent investment. So anyway, Habibun Najjar came and he gave this dawat. And he gave this dawat. But these people still, I'll just cut it short, these people didn't listen to him and eventually they killed him. Qila dukhulil jannah, Allah ta'ala entered him into Jannah. And then even in Jannah, and then he's desirous that he's, how nice if my people came to know of what Jannah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How nice is they would they know if they knew what Jannat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me. So may Allah ta'ala give us, time has run out, Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of practicing. Surah Yasin is a great surah, but just to understand, the theme of the surah is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this meeting is there, when a person has this meeting, then he is on track. It's like a train that is on track. You can get the most sophisticated train with the best interior, with the plush leather, with the air condition, but take that train off the track, the train won't get you anywhere. But take a third class coach, and that third class coach with no air condition, no windows, nothing. It's a chain that is shaking with very, very, very difficult conditions. The person is traveling in it, but it's on track. The train can cover thousands of miles. So therefore Allah Ta'ala in the beginning tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You are on the straight path. In other words, you are on the track. Anybody that links up with you, anybody that brings their coach and links up with the engine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will reach his destination. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the track. If we move away from that track and we choose any other path, we will stall, we will stop. It doesn't matter how outwardly it looks so good, it may be so beautiful. But if a person is off that track, he won't get anywhere. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of staying on the track of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, improving our lives, correcting our lives, and allowing us to remember the day to come when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.